Jesus, in our gospel reading, is sending out the 70. He's sending them out to prepare his way as he wishes to enter into these towns to preach the good news. And he sends them out in a counterintuitive way. He tells them to go barefooted and barehanded. He tells them not to carry any purse or knapsack or anything that would provide for them for their journey, and to be completely at the mercy of the generosity of those they encounter. He sends them out to trust in his word, that God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for you body and soul, and will open these proverbial and literal doors for the gospel on their journey. But it seems, doesn't it, that Jesus is preparing them for utter failure and defeat and even death when he says, "I send you out like lambs among the wolves." Well, we all know what wolves are. They're carnivores. They eat little lambs. And we know what little lambs are. They're defenseless creatures. Even an adult sheep doesn't have any defensive mechanism at all. It doesn't have claws. It doesn't have teeth. It's not a good, sheep aren't good runners. They're not good at flying away or being camouflaged. And so these little lambs are the targets of wolves. If you ever have watched any of these nature shows, these documentaries, you'll see that the wolves will often go at the baby sheep or the baby buffalo because they are the most vulnerable. So why would Jesus say, make yourselves as vulnerable as possible, and I'm going to send you out in the midst of wolves? Part of it is a reality check that this world is sadly filled with wolves. There are enemies of the gospel. Evil is often palpable, and Jesus wants us to prepare, not so that we become a doormat, but that we would trust in God. We would trust in his provision, even through those strangers we encounter on our journey of the proclamation of the gospel. Just as the wolves have a strategy to go after the most vulnerable, so Jesus gives the disciples and us a strategy on how to trust in God's Spirit as God leads us along our paths, opening those proverbial and literal doors, making ourselves diminished and humble and even vulnerable so that we have to depend upon the mercy and the generosity of others. One of the great signs that Jesus is not preparing us for defeat is that he sends out the disciples two by two. And that should remind us of Noah and how God sends the animals two by two into Noah's ark. And the command for all of creation is to be fruitful and to multiply. And so what Jesus is really trying to do is to amplify the gospel and to multiply its effectiveness through this strategy that he lines out here. This vulnerability is very counterintuitive, isn't it? That we would make ourselves vulnerable as we would preach the good news to our neighbors. It's often that we think the other way around, that we partner with agencies like Helping Hands and food pantries and soup kitchens, and that we would fulfill the needs of the needy and preach the gospel to them. But you hear Jesus is saying, become the needy. Show up to those who are generous and want to care for others. Maybe this is how we learn the great commandment that we're reminded of in our Old Testament reading and often reminded of in Scripture, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to do unto others as we would want them to do unto us, and that actually by experiencing neediness and want and vulnerability, that we learn what it is like to be a recipient of God's grace and mercy through the generosity and the kindness of others. The second semester of my freshman year, I studied music in Barcelona, Spain. I had the experience of going to a country that I thought I knew the language. I studied Spanish. And what I encountered in Barcelona was they didn't want to speak Spanish. They wanted to speak Catalan, which is a different language in that region of Spain. And so I experienced a struggle trying to communicate and trying to get by day to make friends and to learn as I studied there. I learned what it was like to look different among the people in Spain there in Barcelona and be a foreigner. And so when I came back to Indiana University, I got involved in the International Student Center, and I welcomed foreign students to Indiana University because I realized what it felt like to not feel so welcomed at times, but also on the positive end, what it felt like when people from Barcelona welcomed me and were kind to me and made me their friends. And so Jesus invites you and me to put our foot into the shoe of another, of someone who's needy, someone who is in want, someone who needs a friend. When I first moved here, Pastor Steve Unger and Linda took Elizabeth and me out to dinner in Stony Brook. And we drove around East Setauket, and we saw all these homes that Pastor Unger said that were still Native American owned, still part of the ancestral and of the Setauket tribe that lived there. And just a few blocks away from that neighborhood is a street called Quaker Path. And what I learned later about that community there was that during the 1830s through the 1860s, that was a central place of the Underground Railroad. And that African slaves were trying to escape slavery in the South, and their destination point often was that community where the Quakers and the Setauket Indian tribe actually provided for these strangers trying to escape slavery. They housed them. Many of them intermarried there also. And it was a place of refuge and rest before they made their way across the Long Island Sound and to Connecticut, and then eventually making their way up into Canada to escape the Fugitive Act of 1850. Which required the northern states to return slaves to their owners in the South. This was a radical hospitality to show one child of God kindness and the love of Christ that they deserved. They had to make themselves vulnerable. They came empty-handed and barefoot to even this region of the country. And the Quakers and the Setauket tribes also learned what it meant to be a vehicle of the love of Christ. This is the way the gospel spreads, Jesus outlines for us, through this radical hospitality and kindness. Putting ourselves, yes, at the mercy of others, trusting not only in strangers to provide for us, but trusting Christ through those strangers, through those sisters and brothers, to care for us and to provide for us, so that we too would learn what it means to be a stranger and a foreigner, and to extend that same radical hospitality to one another. This opening of our hearts, this opening of our minds, this opening of our homes is what Jesus talks about when he says that even when we give a cold cup of water in my name to a child, we do it to Christ. As Jesus says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Unto the least of these that you've done it to me. This is the way we spread the good news, and this is the good news. This radical hospitality, this radical trust of the Holy Spirit to provide for all of us through one another. This brings out the best in ourselves, the kindness and the love and the generosity that we have in Christ, where we get to experience the love of Christ. Notice that later in Scripture, and even in Isaiah, we're given this promise that the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Yes, Jesus sends us out like lambs in the midst of wolves, but God also transforms wolves, which are carnivores, into wolves that are herbivores. He changes us from the inside out to become that vision of who we are to be in body, in mind, and in our spirit. And Jesus isn't calling us to do anything he hasn't done himself or is willing to do. For he himself goes out into the world as a lamb in the midst of wolves. He'll be arrested by those wolves. He'll be betrayed by a wolf. He'll be mocked and tried and crucified by the wolves. And he'll cry out in his vulnerability, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And he rises victoriously from the dead, having made himself vulnerable. God provides for him. Death cannot hold him. He rises so that we too would have that assurance of God's grace, his presence, forgiveness, and eternal life. He is the lamb in the midst of wolves who's given himself for us in this generosity, this infinite generosity and love that we know of in the good news, which we call the gospel. In the name of Jesus. Amen.